listening to 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
You are listening to Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, Pleasant Gap State College, as we get underway with a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And yes, remember when Mr. Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, was telling us yesterday, you know, this could get a little slippery and cause some real problems with the roads because of the wind and the icing over of the light snow that we will get? Well, turns out Mr. Bastardi knew what he was talking about, and he was spot on. Yes, if you are out and about this morning, use caution. It can sneak up on you. I'm just telling you, you may be, don't be lulled into a false sense of security. You may be going along, the roads in these parts are actually just fine. Yep, except for that spot there or that spot over there. We have black ice throughout the county and beyond this morning. You need to be a little extra cautious if you're going about. And again, if you're tested and like, oh, no, things are good. Yeah, they may be good for a while and then maybe, all of a sudden, not so good. We have accidents reported all over the place. Reports of multiple roads, highly trafficked roads that are shut down in parts or are just not passable, not safe. Again, if you don't need to be out and about, this will change, and it'll change fairly quickly. But I would say if you can avoid being on the roads until about 9 or so this morning anyway, go ahead and if you have stuff that you can put off and do a little bit later in the day, that would be wise. As we get underway again here with our Tuesday edition, lots to get to over the course of this morning's big show. And we will take a check of sports coming up in the second segment of today's show. And, yeah, it is a little dicey. Good morning, Mr. Geese.
That was an adventure.
Uh-huh.
Holy moly. Everything he just said.
Yeah.
It's not funny. All right. It's not funny.
And it really, I had relatively good experiences for me coming in here, but even just with the sidewalks, I'm like testing, and because the State College, I don't know what all the school districts are doing, but State College is on a 1 hour delay.
Everybody else is too.
I kind of figured that was the case. I had seen Belfont. I'm like, well, I'm going to assume that everybody else is probably on a 2 hour. So 2 hour delays for everybody except for State College, 1 hour delay there. But the sidewalks, as well as the roads, it's kind of the same thing where I'm like, it must be worse in other parts. And then, there's a little spot. Oh, there's a little spot. So for the most part, again, at least my experience, I'm on the west end of State College. Most of the roads seem mostly okay. Most of the sidewalks seem mostly okay. But that's actually what's making it dangerous is, again, I think there are some people that, all right, it is fine. And then all of a sudden, again, that black ice, it causes real, real problems. And because of the wind and because of the way the snow has drifted, again, you could be sailing along, no problems, and then all of a sudden, big, big problem. I know we have at least one overturned vehicle over on Shingletown Road this morning. I just, if you can avoid being out, avoid it for another hour or two. And if you need to be out, I'm just telling you, take a little extra time. Don't feel rushed. Don't get lulled into a false sense of security this morning, because this stuff can sneak up very, very quickly on you.
Well, our guy Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com,
he nailed it again. He did.
Yeah. I mean, he mentioned yesterday you get precipitation, it melts, then it refreezes.
This is exactly what he was worried
about. That's exactly where I live, because when I pulled out this morning, I'm like, whoa, hold the phone, wait a minute. And for some reason, now, Scott here, I'm from Penns Valley. I don't know what the Amish are doing this morning, but they're doing something out my way, and they're out in force. And I'm thinking, you couldn't have picked a worse day to be out in force in your horses and buggies. Now, I'm being a little lighthearted there, but as I was leaving, some vehicles on the road I live on were backed up. And I see an Amish person. I mean, you can tell an Amish person. The clothing and all that sort of thing. He's waving cars down. I'm thinking, oh, no, please, no. So this was on the other side of a big hill. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going that way. I'm going the other direction. Please. All right, folks, let's be careful. Everything he just said. All right. It may not seem like much, but hey, to get slippery. And then mention the leaves falling off trees.
Yep.
All right. Then we throw that into the mix.
Yep.
I passed some of that on some certain streets. I'm thinking, okay, that's already slippery. Then we have slippery leaves on top of them. Ugh. It's like the old perfect storm, which we weren't quite expecting this morning. I tell you what, the 1 hour delay intrigues me. When's the last time you saw a one-hour school delay?
It's not been very often.
And now, out my way, Penns Valley, I believe, started with a one-hour delay. Then they changed it to a two-hour delay.
Okay.
All right? I'm not sure why State College isn't doing that. I think a two-hour delay might be wise. Clearfield County schools have something similar. I think if you keep going west and then maybe northwest, like up toward Erie, there's actually school closings today. So, folks, I know you don't want to hear it, but, hey, winter's here.
I do not want to hear that, Mr. Deasy.
You don't want to hear that. I know the calendar officially says we're only halfway through autumn. Forget it, okay? Winter is here. If you were listening yesterday, again, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, remember his comment? He said between Thanksgiving and Christmas could be kind of interesting this year. I'm thinking, okay, we're not even to Thanksgiving yet. That's still 2 weeks away. So, folks, let's take it easy. Are your tires up to snuff? All right, I bet a lot of folks haven't even thought about that yet. Well, you're thinking about it this morning if you're out driving. Do you have your scraper and, all the stuff you're supposed to have in your car? That would be wise. But I'm going to echo what you said. If you don't have to go out this morning, don't. Just don't. All right? You said 9. You might want to go later than that. It might be more like 10. We're probably not going to get any more snow today. Maybe this evening. Now, of course, that'll be interesting because it's starting to get dark. And then if we get a snow burst in there somehow. I was really planning to go to one of these movies with the Center Film Festival this evening.
Yep.
We'll see. I really want to go see this one particular, like a full-length movie. I don't know. I'll play it as it comes later on. So anyway, please. And again, it's not just us. I actually got a call from my one daughter who lives in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. And I'm like, why are you calling me? And she's like, well, I'm stuck on Interstate 81 motionless because there's accidents and things happening up that direction.
Yep.
I think she said she'd been sitting on the road for an hour. I'm thinking, oh, man, whatever it was must be really bad. So, like, sweetie, take it easy, please. Dad, take it easy. Okay. We're all taking it easy. There we go. So, whew. Folks, really, The road crews, I don't want to criticize road crews. I'm wondering if maybe they got caught a little by surprise on this one, that they maybe got out a bit late. I finally passed one or two road crews on the drive in this morning. I'm thinking, guys, where were you about 2 hours ago? Now, I'm not criticizing PennDOT, but it does seem like maybe they got caught by surprise. So anyway, watch out, watch out. Watch out.
Should have been listening to Mr. Bastardi.
Yeah, there we go. Now, we do have a busy show. We have two different guests. All right, first off, Mr. Ironhead, we're doing some wrestling talk later this hour. What's going on?
We are doing wrestling talk later this hour?
Yeah.
Oh, with, yes, that wrestling.
That wrestling.
Law of wrestling.
That's what I meant, yeah.
With Eric Brugel, yes. He'll be checking in with us at about 8:45 this morning.
All right. And then at 9 o'clock, and I've already heard from our guest, who apparently lives rather close to our studio, because we exchanged messages this morning, like, do you want to call in? I understand if you want to call in. He's like, no, I live near Science Park Road. I'll come in. Like, okay. Dr. Shyam Sundar of Penn State. We're going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about a bunch of AI things. But recently he was, I guess, involved with a study on how trusting people are with AI. And maybe they're a little too trusting with AI. And that's probably not the best way to go. And so when I saw that story the other day, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's worth talking about. And so Dr. Sundar is like, yep, I'd love to come on the show. So he's going to join us hopefully around 9 o'clock or so, driving carefully, I hope. Some interesting things. I keep seeing these stories, and especially it's about young people or kids that are probably way too trusting of AI, and then they go do bad things. And I'm not talking crimes. I'm talking to themselves. Bad things, not good. Folks, we're talking with machines here. We need to remember that. So we're going to talk about this study and other things attached with AI right now. We'll be doing that here in the next hour. Today, of course, is also Veterans Day. All right, so we'll ring the bell for our veterans. A number of things, of course, not happening today. Post office closed. Banks are closed. Government offices are closed. Some other things might be closed, not weather-related. This would be holiday-related. So if you are a veteran, either current or former, we salute you in many different ways. I saw one story this morning that there's a number. Now, be careful today, all right? I guess a number of restaurant chains are doing specials if you're a veteran. Now, obviously, you got to prove it. But they have, like, free meals or discounts off meals and so on. If you do a little web searching, you'll probably find those stories about which particular restaurants are doing this sort of thing. So if you're a vet and you want to do that sort of thing carefully today, enjoy yourself because you deserve it. We appreciate you giving of your time and giving your service to our country. Center Film Festival, again, is this week. I'm hoping that this weather doesn't disrupt those folks too much. They started yesterday, runs through Sunday. Again, the free plug for these folks, centerfilm.org. Center is in Center County, centerfilm.org. The full rundown is there. Again, they're starting these events at 11:30 in the morning, and then it pretty much runs all day. Shorts and full-length movies of you know, funny movies, serious movies, dramas. Not many with big-name actors, although the one I want to go see this evening has at least a couple of big-name actors. We'll see if I get there. But enjoy the Center Film Festival today. Just make sure that you enjoy it carefully, all right? Is the government about to reopen? Oh, boy. All right, the Senate has passed their deal. All right, they got past their filibuster with help. Republicans got some help from some Democrats who finally decided, okay, this we got to end this. It's time to stop this. And so the Senate got past the filibuster. Then they actually passed the bill to reopen the government. This now goes to the House. The House, right now at least, is expected to vote on this probably tomorrow. And then if they pass it, which I think is expected, then it would go to President Trump. He signs it. And then I guess, I don't know if it's immediate, might need a little time to kind of reopen things with the government. Now, we'll mention tentatively, local Congressman Glenn Thompson is going to join us on Friday. Tentatively means they actually do the vote tomorrow. If the vote gets delayed, then obviously we're not going to have the congressman because he's going to be a little busy. We'll maybe try to have him one day next week or something like that. But reached out to him yesterday, and he said, okay, how about Friday? I said, Friday works if we're not voting. Okay, it's like, I get it. All right. So hopefully, all right, just kind of watch how things go. If you follow news, it's already getting ugly. All right, it's getting ugly on the left-hand side about, you know, traitors and all this sort of thing. Folks, we can't keep doing this. This shutdown is really hurting people now. All right, we've heard about airports. We've heard about air traffic controllers. We've heard about SNAP benefits. We've heard about some other things. The Republicans in the Senate have promised that there will be a vote probably sometime in December, about the Obamacare subsidies. Now, that's all the promise is. They promised to have a vote. They didn't promise, okay, we'll pass them. No, that never came up. They promised to have a vote. Well, for some folks on the left, that's not nearly good enough. Chuck Schumer might as well not even try to run for re-election. I mean, he's toast. I mean, he is. People on both sides now are calling for him to step down. So if you follow news, I mean, this is getting a little ugly, okay? I mean, ugly as in the arguing and the name-calling and that sort of stuff. Whew. So if the congressman joins us on Friday, we'll have plenty of questions for him. So that'll be very interesting. All right, weight loss. How's your weight? All right, I'm seeing some claims out there. Again, these new weight loss drugs, which I've never tried them. I could stand to lose a few pounds. I could. Main reason I haven't tried them is, have you seen the cost of these things? They're really expensive. If you are doing this, you're nodding your head right now. Yeah, these are really expensive. Well, yesterday, apparently, Dr. Mehmet Oz, is the Medicare Medicaid Service Administrator. He came out with an announcement yesterday that, again, instead of just shots, they plan to have weight loss pills for this. And allegedly, they're going to be ready to go by March. That's according to Dr. Oz. I must admit, it sounds like it would be a lot easier to take a pill than to give yourself a shot. All right, I can understand that. But allegedly, they will do the same thing. All right. Now, what about that cost thing? Well, President Trump went to the pharmaceutical companies recently and, demanded that they lower the prices of these things. And allegedly, they say they're going to do that. I mean, I've seen prices like $500 a month for this stuff. I'm like, ooh, okay, no, I think I'll lose weight the old-fashioned way, thank you. Well, allegedly with these changes, and if the drug companies hold to their promise, it's supposed to get down to $150 a month. Now, that's still pricey for some people, but it's not $500 a month, for goodness sakes. So let's see. Again, this is a 2026 thing. Let's see what happens with this next year. What is this claim? All right. Again, Donald Trump is great with claims. He makes all kinds of claims. His claim, apparently, I think he made this claim, that he claims that, you know, with these changes to these drugs and the price coming down and so on, over the next 12 months, this is according to one story, over the next 12 months, America will lose 135 million pounds. I guess we should ring the bell for that. Now, I did some quick math. I'm thinking, okay, that's a lot of pounds. That comes out to 67,500 tons. We're talking people losing weight, all right? Where this number comes from, I haven't a clue. 135 million pounds over the next 12 months. Okay, I don't know. Mr. Ironhead, if you wanted to, would you take this pill? Let's go with the pill. Would you take the pill?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good the old-fashioned
way. All right. I still have a lot of questions. Maybe we need to have a guest on this one. I don't know. I still have a lot of questions about this stuff. In other words, if you, all right, for people right now, they're taking these shots. Maybe some of you are doing that. What happens if you stop taking the shots? Does all the weight come back? Can you keep it off yourself? I mean, is the idea is I want to lose some weight and then I'll go on my own after that and everything's okay? Is this something where, well, you start taking this and you're supposed to just keep on taking it? See that? Not a fan. If that's the case, not a fan. I've got a lot of questions about these things, but all right, we'll see what happens here. John Fetterman, now he voted to open the government, and of course to the ire of a lot of folks on the left. He has a memoir out, a book, which it's supposed to hit bookshelves today. Interesting title, John Fetterman. His book is called Unfettered. All right, that's,
there you go.
That's original, creative, okay. Some stories started emerging over the weekend. Look for more today, because today is when his book actually comes out. And I assume after he's done doing his voting and so on, he's probably going to do, you know, the talk circuit, talking about his book and such. The one that's gotten the most publicity, if you remember, he was elected back in 2022, and he had a stroke, literally a few days before the spring primary that year. Remember that? He had a stroke in May of 2022. And a lot of us, and I was one of them, said, hey, if this guy had a stroke, what the heck is he doing running for office? He should be taking care of himself right now. All right, not running for office. A lot of people defend, oh, he's being courageous and he's being tough. Now, some of those folks are now saying, the guy's a bum. You know, that's all right, folks on the political left. He's a bum. Okay, pick your side, all right? But apparently in his book, all right, this is a quote, in hindsight, I should have quit back in 2022. Well, in hindsight, he's correct. And a lot of us knew it back then. And this isn't a I told you so. Again, this is more of, hey, you have a stroke. You got to take care of yourself, not be running for the United States Senate, for goodness sakes. That's insane. But again, folks, how do I put this? Propped them up, you know, because we can't have a Republican win that seat. They propped him up, and he did just enough to get over the finish line in 2022. He had serious problems with depression. Remember, he had problems understanding sometimes what people were saying, and he had to have like a little mini teleprompter in front of him just to like translate what other people were saying so that he could try to respond. Remember that?
In fairness, I have a lot of trouble understanding politicians myself, so I can, you know, to some degree understand where he was coming from.
So his book is out. It's called Unfettered. I don't know. I'll give some thought. I don't usually buy. I don't buy books from politicians. I do not. I'm thinking, all right, that's a waste of money. I don't know. I'll think about this one. All right. I want to see him. I'm assuming he'll be on the talk circuit pitching his book. And I don't know. I'll think about it. I might want to buy this one. No, Kamala Harris's book, not happening. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our sports segment. Again, plenty of things going on. We've got some talk on, it's Raw Wrestling. Got the right one?
Claw.
Yep.
C-L-A-W. Yep.
I'm getting my awes all mixed up.
Right.
Claw Wrestling. AI Talk next hour. Folks, we got a busy show. Just be careful if you're driving. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world. Too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk on a Tuesday morning, a wintry Tuesday at that. Jeff and Scott with you, guests coming up, open phone time coming up, good times coming up.
We hope.
Possibly. Eric Bruegel with Claw Wrestling will join us via the phone line coming up at about 8:45 this morning. Zane Rutherford will be on the card tonight for Claw Wrestling, and we'll talk to him about Zane and the event again coming this evening. Penn State football team will look to snap a now 6-game losing streak Saturday at Michigan State. That game in East Lansing will kick off at 3:30 Saturday afternoon. It will be televised by CBS. Both teams 0-6 in conference games this season. The Nittany Lions on the road are a touchdown favorite in the contest. The next college football playoff rankings, by the way, come out tonight. Will Penn State crack the top 12?
No.
Well, no.
Move on.
No,
come
no
on.
Chance. Penn State men's basketball team will play Navy on Veterans Day today. That'll be a 6:30 tip-off tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center. That game will air on the Big Ten Network. Penn State off to a 2-0 start. Navy is 1-1 on the young season. This will actually be the first meeting between the programs since 1985. Penn State, a 13-point favorite in the matchup with the Middies tonight. The Penn State women's soccer team did get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament yesterday. The Nittany Lions are in the field for the 31st consecutive season. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Just saying. The 8th-seeded Nittany Lions will host 9th-seeded Army West Point in the opening round this weekend. That game will kick off on Saturday at 5 p.m. at Jeffrey Field. Penn State is 9-7-3 on the season, while the Black Knights come in at 14-5-2. The Black Knights earned an automatic bid by winning the Patriot League Championship this season. Also, Penn State goalie Mackenzie Gress has been named the Big Ten to the Big Ten All-Tournament team. Gress allowed 2 goals in the loss to UCLA, but posted a season-high 8 saves in that loss. The Penn State men's hockey team is down a couple of spots in the coaches' poll this week and now checks in at number 5 in the rankings. That after the overtime loss and a regulation loss at top-ranked Michigan State last weekend. Penn State has an opportunity to quickly rise right back up in those rankings, though, as the Nittany Lions host second-ranked Michigan this weekend. The series opener is set for 7 p.m. Friday night at Pagola Ice Arena. Michigan State, again, number 1 this week. Michigan, number 2. And then it's Minnesota Duluth at number 3. Denver is 4th. Wisconsin, the only other Big Ten team ranked, checking in at number 7, right behind North Dakota. The undefeated Penn State women's hockey team remains 6th in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions had a bye week and will host Syracuse at Pagola Ice Arena this weekend. Those games will be at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon and at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Penn State women's volleyball team is hanging in the top 25. Nittany Lions moving up from 25 to 24 in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions went 1-1 this past weekend, falling at Purdue before defeating Illinois. Nittany Lions are 14-10 on the season, 8-6 in Big Ten matches. Penn State will visit Minnesota Friday night before returning home to take on Ohio State this Sunday afternoon. That'll be a 2 o'clock match at Rec Hall. The Philadelphia Eagles put on an offensive display last night, the likes of which we have rarely seen.
This year.
10-7. The Eagles do get the win over the Green Bay Packers. Somebody once told me this is a results-oriented league. The result was good. Jalen Hurts completed 15 of 26 passes for 183 yards and a touchdown, that lone touchdown going to Devontae Smith, who finished with 4 receptions for 69 yards. Saquon Barkley set up the big touchdown play. Really, it was kind of 2 plays, and that was the Philadelphia offense last night. Barkley had a big run on a third down play, and then on the very next play, they had, I think it was about a 36-yard touchdown pass. Other than that, it was
brutal.
Tough slogging for both offenses last night. Jake Elliott got the Eagles on the board and got the first score of the game in the third quarter. It was 0-0 at halftime last night. Elliott's field goal ultimately proving to be the difference. Nick Sirianni tried to give it away at the end. I'm not big on questioning coaches. I think usually it's like, well, if it worked, it's a smart thing. If it doesn't, this was dumb. I mean, it worked out okay for the Eagles. This was just dumb. We may get into that, but you punt the ball. Like, this isn't like, oh, well, you could see where he was. The upside, this is one of those, the risk-reward is, and they got away with it. Again, it's a results-oriented league, so it's not going to be that big of a deal. If they had lost as a result of that, if the Packers had kicked a field goal and then won it in overtime, man, people would be, Eagles fans would be furious.
They'd be lighting it up in Philly this morning.
With yeah. Nick Sirianni. One of the more baffling. More baffling than Penn State's timeout with 20 seconds left. That's getting a lot of attention. And I don't know that Terry Smith helped himself out with yesterday's answer. We may kick that around a little bit later in the morning as well. Elsewhere, Pittsburgh Penguins, now third in the Metropolitan Division with a record of 9-5-3. The Penguins will return to action on Friday night when Pittsburgh will visit Nashville. Philadelphia Flyers are 8-5-2 and sit fourth in the Metropolitan Division, right behind those beloved Penguins. 8-5-2, the record for Philadelphia. The Flyers will be back in action tomorrow night, hosting the Edmonton Oilers. The 76ers are 6-4 on the season and will host the Boston Celtics at 8 p.m. tonight. Again, Philadelphia Eagles get the win. They needed the win. Job well done. Now 7-2 on the season. And big one coming up. Another prime time affair for the Philadelphia Eagles as they will host the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football this week. Of course, the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers desperately need the win over the Cincinnati Bengals here on Sunday afternoon. That will be a 1 o'clock kickoff, and the Steelers just, they need to take care of business. You've got to win these games that you're supposed to win. Home with Cincinnati, a Joe Burrow-less Bengals team. He's out for 2 more weeks, by the way. They announced yesterday he should be back 3 games from now, but Steelers need to take care of business here and would help if they could beat the Bears the following week. That would go a long way. When you look at the Ravens schedule, we keep talking about the Steelers, their schedule keeps getting tougher. The Ravens, not so much. And again, the Steelers, not so much, although Bengals gave them problems, but at home, you got to take care of this one. Ravens are at the Browns this week. I mean, I know rivalry, blah, blah, blah. Come on. Then they're home with the Jets, home with the Bengals, and then the big matchup with the Steelers. So the Steelers, it feels like, have to hold serve here in the coming weeks to make that that Ravens game all that it could be in terms of the intrigue before the matchup. And they'll have the work cut out. So it's the before they meet on December 7th, the Steelers have the Bengals at home this week. Then they're at the Bears. Then they're back home with the Buffalo Bills. And I don't know what to make of the Bills after that debacle in Miami, losing 30-13 to the Dolphins, with the Dolphins having all the issues they are. That was weird. Steelers, by the way, will get the Dolphins at home in December after that Ravens matchup.
Freeze the Dolphins. Okay.
we'll look forward to that.
Freeze
one,
the Dolphins. There
something
we go.
Like it.
All right.
Penn State trying to close out with 3 wins this season. That would be great if they can do it. In the overall scheme of things, I'm just not sure. It should matter to the kids in that locker room. I'm not suggesting it shouldn't. I just, big picture stuff, I don't know that there has been 3 less meaningful or more meaningless games in Penn State football history. These are just irrelevant. This season, if they finish up with 3 wins, they're 6-6. In a year where they were number 2, it's going to be the most disappointing season in Penn State history.
Yes.
Well, they lose the final 3 Ironhead, and then they're 3-9, and the next coach still comes. Irrelevant. Not to the people in the locker room. I want to see them fight. I'd love to see them get 3 more wins. It now is all about the next coach and what this next couple of years look like with the trajectory of Penn State football, because a lot of moving parts out there, not just with Penn State, but throughout the college football landscape. And everybody is chasing, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and they're doing it. Wow, we got to make a move. We got to get the And sitting there year after year is Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I really am. I'll be excited no matter who the coach is, be backing them. And I think it's going to be really, really difficult for Penn State football to get back to where it was just a season ago.
It'll take them a little while, a couple of years.
I think more than a little while.
If they can somehow win the last three, and for me that's still a gigantic if.
Oh, for sure.
All right. They're 6-6. They're bowl eligible. There's
kind
a,
of.
There's,
not technically, but there's a, they'll be allowed.
There's a bowl game. They'd love to have Penn State come because there's a bazillion Penn State fans, and most of them have money. All right, come on, bowl games. All right, that's the whole deal, the tourism and all that sort of thing. But would you go to a bowl game, you know, the Joe's Bait Shop Toilet Bowl or something, if you're 6-6 in this particular situation they're in right now? And for me, the answer is no. All right. We don't know when the new coach is going to be announced. I'm thinking start as soon as the season's over. So in other words, like first week of December, which gives you a chance to talk to current players to convince them, don't do the portal. We want you to stay. I don't think they're going to do a Deion Sanders, although, I don't know. You know, convince current players to stay, go out and start doing recruiting again, maybe to reconvince some people, hey, come on, all right, you were with us, and then you decided, no, come on back, you know, that sort of thing. A bowl game would be just in the way of all of that work that has to be done in December and January?
Yeah, Terry Smith did say he wants to play a bowl game, not surprisingly, and he thinks the reading between the lines, I don't know that he specifically said the players want to, but he basically said, "It. Listen, we have a chance to play more football. We're football players. We're a football team. We want to go do it." The two reasons normally you would go to a bowl game, one, a reward for, in particular, your seniors, for your football team. Even with three wins, even if they're three convincing wins, will it feel in that locker room like, man, we got to go get our reward for this season? Like, I don't know. I just, maybe I'm looking at it not the right way, but I can't imagine that players that began the season truly believing and thinking they could play for a national title would look at going to the two most likely options that I've seen being thrown out there are, now, Phoenix would be a fun trip. That would be the Game Above Sports Bowl. That is on December 26th in Detroit. That, I don't think, has... even though Detroit, if you've not been, what they have done down around the sports complexes there is phenomenal. It is a really, really neat area. But day after Christmas, going to Detroit, I don't know is a lot of Penn State fans' idea of, hey, this will be an absolute blast. Now, the Rate Bowl in Phoenix, also on December 26th, maybe holds a little more appeal for some Penn State fans. And then the Pinstripe Bowl, I think, what is that? The Bad Bow Mowers.
Bad Boy.
Pinstripe Mowers. Bowl on December 27th. At Yankee Stadium. I don't know.
No.
Let's head to the phones real quickly. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Whoop. Hello. We got you there?
Oh, hi. This is Eric Brugel.
Hey, Eric. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with you on the other side. we're going to talk some Claw Wrestling. Again, Zane Rutherford in action tonight. Again, Penn State will have the those bowl options likely if Penn State wins out. The whole eligibility thing is also interesting because I don't know that they're technically really eligible with the six wins even, but they'll move on and be invited to a bowl game.
So again, there's
whether or not they accept is still, I think, very much in question, despite Terry Smith's stated desire.
There's no Joe's Bait Shop toilet bowl.
They may be looking at it. They may be looking at it.
I don't know.
We are back with Eric Brugel talking some Claw Wrestling after this.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
It's Let's Talk on a
beautiful,
a wintry Tuesday morning here in the Valley of Happiness. Eric Brugel, longtime Penn State wrestling fans and State College wrestling fans, remember Mr. Brugel on the mat. He is, of course, put together this Claw Wrestling, which I think is just a really, really cool opportunity and experience for fans and wrestlers alike. Eric joins us via the phone line this morning. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Eric, let's talk about just from your perspective how the first couple of weeks here have gone, what the response has been like that you've gotten from fans and from the competitors here in Claw Wrestling.
Well, the athletes and the fans have absolutely loved it. I mean, it's really, so much more fast-paced than most of the wrestling that they've seen in the past.
Yep.
We've added, the innovations in the rules. A lot of people are skeptical when they first start watching, but after they've seen it a while, they recognize that it really adds to the enjoyment of watching it and the action. So, and that's really what Claw is all about. We're trying to really, appeal, to wrestling fans, of course, but, try and do something that can bridge the gap, to appeal to more non-wrestling fans. And I think we've gotten a good combination. Claw, is the Champions League of American Wrestling, for those of you who haven't, heard of the acronym. And it's a professional league. We have teams and dual meets. The dual meets have been very exciting. We're looking forward to a very exciting dual meet tonight with the Cicadas wrestling the Hammers. As you mentioned in your promo, Zane Rutherford is going to be competing, and he's wrestling against Ian Parker. Ian had wrestled at Iowa State University and is a current member of the United States World Team, so that's going to be a really fun match.
Yeah, Ian Parker is getting his fair share of competition against current and former Nittany Lions now. Of course, Tyler Kasak just wrestled him this past weekend out at the Bill Farrell and pulled out a 1-point win. Really tough match there. So look forward to that with Parker and Zane. I don't want to go too far in here, but Zane obviously is the biggest name for Penn State fans following this. I just wondering from a wrestler's perspective, what impresses you most about Zane Rutherford and what we've seen from him over his remarkable wrestling career?
You know, he's obviously a winner. I mean, really, you know, his one of the, you know, funnest areas to see Zane wrestle has been when Zane, you know, wrestles on the top. You know, Zane has had an accomplished career both in freestyle and in folk style wrestling, but you know, you really don't get to see that, you know, kind of top wrestling the way he punishes guys in the freestyle, you know, like he did in the folk style, and we bring back, you know, a bunch of that into Claw. So, you know, Zane, you know, has been remarkable in his competitiveness, you know, and you know, obviously he's, you know, his strength, agility, he's a great athlete. You know, he's obviously, you know, super accomplished in all these positions that he get, every position that he ends up being in. And so he's very fun to watch. He had a great match and, you know, his first match against, you know, John Milner, you know, where the, you know, the score was very close, but, you know, he was able to win because in Claw, you know, you have to, you know, win the most rounds in order to, you know, win the match.
Yeah.
You know, and Zane was able to do that. You know, this is going to be a tough challenge for him, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Eric, let's go over that. Where can people watch if they have not been checking it out and they're intrigued this morning? Where can they watch? And these are coming out on Tuesday nights, right?
Yeah, it's actually Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Tuesday nights is, you know, you can watch it on Claw Total Access. You can, you know, which is our, you know, streaming channel. You can go to www.clawtotalaccess.com. You can also get it through our, get there, you know, through our website, which is wrestleclaw.com. It's going to be on Flow, you know, tonight, you know, as well. And it's on other streaming channels like Lights Out Media and Unbeaten and, you know, several other streaming channels. But most of the audience might be familiar with Flow, and they can also get to it through Claw Total Access. So at Claw Total Access, it's free on Tuesday nights. It's behind the paywall on Wednesday nights. So we've been doing Tuesday night duels and Wednesday night duels. It's $24 a year for all-in access, and that also includes condensed matches and all kinds of other content in addition to the dual meets.
Very cool. And how would you describe that? Do you want to go through just some of the – I know we did this last time you were on, but if people are listening and they're not familiar, again, just some of the rules and what makes this – I think a very entertaining watch for both wrestling fans and maybe just sports fans in general.
Well, we, you know, overall, I won't get into just, you know, dissecting all the rules, but we've added a few new ways to score. You know, it's very similar, probably 90% similar to what they would be familiar with folk style wrestling, but just call it in a different way. You know, we have, you know, one, you know, interesting rule is a quick score bonus. So if you score in the first 10 seconds of a round, you get an additional point to try and encourage athletes to get to work really early and get scoring early. You know, another one is a push out. You know, we don't have push outs in folk style wrestling, but you do in freestyle and there's a push out and, you know, not like in freestyle where a guy can go to his knees and get pushed out of bounds. But if you get pushed out, you lose a point. So, you have some of these innovative ways to score. We've added one new one with a, you know, having a pylon on the mat that if, you know, either athlete, when they're in the top and bottom position, knocks it down, you can get a point. And that's the one that is the most, what I'll call quote unquote controversial. But, you know, really what we've done is, add, you know, we're calling stalling much faster. We're calling stalemates much faster. We're really just encouraging action. There's about three times as much scoring as you'll see in a typical NCAA match. So it adds a lot more of the mat awareness being so much more important, you know, for guys. And it adds a lot more strategy into the match, which really keeps the fans interested and has the, you know, the athletes engaged. And like I said, after they've done it, the athletes all just, you know, they just love it. We get rave reviews.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting to watch. And I think the competitive nature obviously just comes out in the wrestlers. Eric, do you want to talk a little bit about where we're at in the on the road to the championship here, what the schedule yeah. looks like here over the next couple or next few weeks, I guess it is.
Yeah, this is actually, you know, our division championship. So Claw, we have, you know, six teams, and they've been divided up into two divisions, and then each division is wrestling a round robin. This week is championship week. So the two teams that win this week are going to be going to our Super Duel, which is going to be held in Pittsburgh on November 29th at UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse. It's going to be a fun event. We're going to have a clinic before that Super Duel event, and, you know, and then the match. So championship this week, we have the Cicadas are wrestling the Hammers tonight, and tomorrow night the Enforcers wrestle the Leopards, and the winning teams get to go on to Pittsburgh. Another interesting thing, Jeff, that I didn't hit on when you were talking about the rules is our team scoring is much different, you know, than what you see in traditional wrestling. You know, we give, you know, you're going to see much higher team scores because in order for, you know, when a guy wins a match, you know, in Claw, you get 5 team points plus your point differential. So if you beat a guy, you know, say, you know, 11-7, you had a differential of 4 plus your 5 team points, you're going to get 9 team points for your team. But 25 points for a pin. So pins can be really important in Claw. And the team scoring is a really fun element of it, and where because you get your differential and your score, even if you're behind, you have a lot of incentive to continue to try and, you know, score points, you know, in the fourth round in order to try and close that advantage. And if you're ahead, you can keep pouring it on in order to get additional team points to help your team. So that element of it is added to the fun and excitement.
And again, this will the next round is tonight at 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. tonight, yeah. Hammers and the Cicadas.
And Zane is with the Cicadas.
Zane wrestles on the Cicadas, yeah.
So that'll be again a really neat opportunity tonight. Eric, anything that you wanted to discuss regarding Claw or tonight's event or anything else that I didn't ask you about here?
Well, no. Well, I mean, obviously, we talked about the Super Duel, you know, on November 29th. I mean, people in State College are within striking distance.
For
that's
sure.
Thanksgiving weekend. That's Thanksgiving weekend, but maybe some of the, you know, your listeners, you know, are in close enough to Pittsburgh that they would want to come. If you have athletes that you know, young athletes, you know, youth athletes, you know, we're having a clinic beforehand, you know, featuring some of the stars from the league. And I'd encourage people to check it out. I would also just say some people get confused a little bit with the rules as they get in. You know, Christian Piles, who's one of the commentators on Flo, said he started watching and he said, I felt like I was on speed. But, you know, he said it took him a couple matches in order to, you know, figure out the rules. But, you know, after you've watched a few matches, you know, you'll figure it out pretty quickly and you'll see that the new rule set, you know, adds to the fun and excitement.
For sure. And that Super Duel, Eric, on Saturday, November 29th, that'll be a 4:30 start, right?
That's a 4:30 start to the duel. We're going to be broadcasting that live, so that will be on Claw Total Access and on Flow Live. And like I said, we're going to have a clinic starting at 2 o'clock. You know, for any of the youth that want to come and do the clinic and watch the match.
Fantastic! Really cool opportunity there. And again, that'll be in Pittsburgh. You can get details by checking out the Russell Claw website. Again, Eric, anything else that you wanted to get out there?
No, it's awesome. We love being on. Yeah, we love being on. Yeah, we're excited for what this is bringing to the sport. Hopefully we can help the sport grow. And, you know, it's going to, you know, add like a new element to, you know, giving people who are fans of the sport something to watch that they'll enjoy.
Yeah, I think I think this will continue to grow, obviously, as we go down the road. I think as people start to see it, understand it, athletes start to see it and understand it, I'm excited to see the future here for Klaus. So, congratulations on a terrific endeavor here, and we appreciate the time, Eric.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate you guys having me on, and, go Lions.
Indeed. That is Eric Brugel again. Zane Rutherford and the Cicadas in action tonight, and you can check that out starting at 8 o'clock.
Gotta love team names. The Cicadas?
I do think that is one of the most fun elements to me, just for sports in general, and the number of organizations that blow it. It's like, no, you have an opportunity to do something really neat and name your team something. Like, I think the Altoona Curve got it right. I think the Spikes, that was a fun one. That was well done. Nittany Lions, like, yeah. The Steelers, all of my teams did it right.
I was going to say.
How did that work out? That was good fortune.
So you're rooting for the Cicadas.
I am rooting for the Cicadas here tonight.
Right.
That should be a good one, though. Zane Rutherford and Ian Parker. Parker, again, just had a really tough test with Tyler Kasak over the weekend. Really good match and a really quality win for Kasak in that one at the Bill Farrell. All right, we'll take a break here. And we'll be back.
We're going to talk about AI and why you need to watch out, all right, and not trust it so much, and other AI-related topics, because it's a big issue right now.
Oh,
you're listening to Let's Talk
gonna
here
get
on
bigger, too.
Well, it's getting giant, yeah. Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Watch your driving this morning, please. We'll come back with more after this.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State Knowledge.
It is a Tuesday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We will have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show. Thank you to all the veterans out there on this Veterans Day.
Watch your driving. I'm going to keep saying that all morning. Watch your driving.
Sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Just telling
you. This is a goofy day. All right. Let's go high tech Here we go, so to speak. All right. We want to first welcome to our show Dr. Shyam Sundar of Penn State. Good morning. Whoop, look out. We got you on there?
Now we got it.
All right. All right. Now we got you.
Okay. All right. Good morning.
Thanks
the on button.
Thanks for
telling
for
me
it's
important.
Sorry. Actually, you don't live far from here, apparently. Is that right?
That's right.
You're
that's
pretty
right.
close. All right.
5 minutes
good.
Away. Yeah.
All right. That works. We're going to talk about AI this morning. And I saw a recent story about a week or two ago, I guess it was, about a study. And I just thought, Dr. Sundar, my first thought was, really? Really? Machines,
well,
really? You know?
Listen, Allen Iverson, I just think when you think back on the history of the NBA, Iverson's just one of the best.
No, that's the wrong AI.
Oh, that's not the AI we're talking about.
No.
I am so sorry. I misunderstood.
You a basketball fan, Dr. Sundar?
I thought we were going to go back to his Georgetown days. And,
no.
Well, now I feel unprepared.
See, we just had the wrestling segment, folks. See what I got to deal with. Holy mackerel. All right, let's start from scratch, if we could. Dr. Sundar, tell us something about yourself, your background and so on. You're at Penn State. What do you teach? What do you do there? Tell us about you, please.
Sure, yeah. My name is Shyam Sundar. I'm a professor in the communications field in the Belisario College of Communications at Penn State University. I run a lab called the Media Effects Research Laboratory, where we study the different effects of all kinds of media, from traditional media like television to modern media powered by AI. We look at how people respond to messages that come through the media and what actions they might take as a result of the way the media portrays things. I also direct the university-wide Center for Socially Responsible AI, which is tasked with trying to mitigate some of the harms and biases that are embedded in AI. So my research broadly focuses these days on how humans interact with various AI systems, you know, from ChatGPT to Alexa, and how it kind of shapes them psychologically, and what are some good things that can come out of it, but also what are some, you know, harmful things or things that we need to watch out for.
So you do a lot of research, it sounds like. Now,
that's primarily what I do, yeah.
I was going to say, do you teach students? Do you do
yeah.
things with
so
students?
I do teach a graduate seminar on psychology of communication technology, where we discuss some of these things, how communication technology or elements of the technology of the media can shape the way we think and act. I also teach about media effects to our undergrads. I teach about research methods, how to conduct research and how to do experiments and those kinds of courses on methodology, if you will, as well. So, theory courses as well as methods courses as well as research courses, yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of work. Okay, yeah. Wow. Let's start with kind of an open-ended question. All right, you brought your laptop with you. I've got my iPhone with me. He has a laptop and his gadget with him.
Yeah.
We have two computers here we have three actually here in the studio and so on. All these tools and machines, they're not affecting us, are they? It's just metal and it's just stuff. All right, this isn't affecting me, is it? What's going on?
So the moment you put media between people, things change, and most people don't realize that they change, right? The way you act, the way you gesture even, how much you, follow the norms of human communication will change the moment media comes in between us. And so it has its own grammar and rhythm, and so the way we communicate, for example, with your phone, texting, is very different than the way you might do it in person, and that itself, might signal something to the other person. Sometimes you say this message is brief because it's sent from a phone, for example, so they need to excuse you for not being, having all the niceties in your message and so forth. But if you were to do that face-to-face, they will be PO'd at you for not following the norms of human-human communication. So whenever there's mediation through technology, our communication patterns change. And that's true with everything, from watching television to interacting with, through Zoom with other people to all through phones and through computers, yeah.
So it's always been this way. So in other words, radio's over 100 years old.
That's right.
So when radio showed up, something changed, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then television is, 75 years old or thereabouts? When television started to take hold, people changed.
Yes, and so there are lots of studies over the decades on how, you know, it has affected us in terms of our attitudes toward various things. We get numb to the violence we see on, you know, evening news, and so, you know, we get desensitized to some of the things because television over portrays certain kinds of content. It also portrays a certain kind of America that may not be the reality. So Hollywood has its own biases. Characters of a certain race are often the good guys. The characters of certain race are often the bad guys, for example. So there's sort of systematic biases in the way television portrays. And so that can have a long-term effect on how we see the world and shape our perception. There's studies that even show that the more you watch television, the more you think the world is mean. Because, you know, TV is full of stories about mean things happening around the world. And so historically, we've documented lots of such effects from, you know, media exposure.
All right. Okay, I've got to ask this. Is it still this way? All right, Jeff and I are kind of older. All right, we're not youngsters. Don't give me
You're
a break.
You're probably younger
right?
than I am.
Give me a break, all right? I mean, I remember...
Just immature, that's TV all shows,
I'm thinking especially the 1970s, maybe the 1980s, what you just said, all right, if you're of a certain race, you're a good guy. If you're a certain race, you're a bad guy. I can kind of remember that in the 70s, maybe the 80s. It's not still that way today, is it? We're a lot more diverse now.
More diverse, for sure, but not as diverse as you would see in the population. And so that's kind of the, you know, if you ask somebody from a minority group, they will say that they are still underportrayed in many domains and also sort of portrayed in a very stereotypical way. So if you take an Indian, often it's a doctor, for example. And so there are certain patterns that Hollywood follows. And, of course, they do try. They do listen to some of us and look at the research. But the dominant pattern of storytelling, the way the stories are told and the way it sort of cultivates the sense of normalcy in our head, you know, skews toward a kind of a dominant mainstream that may not necessarily be reflective of the reality. And that's something that you see now, even with AI tools, because they basically perpetuate some of the historical biases that exist in the corpus of human activity, human data, that have all been coded on the internet in some way, and then the AI is picking up and learning from these sort of the wrong facts that if you're a black, chances are you're a criminal. If you're a white, chances are you're a police officer. You know, those kinds of facts are sort of gleaned because of the training data overemphasizes the role of race in certain professions and associates race with certain professions systematically, for example.
All right, now I've got a follow-up question, but I'm assuming my buddy Jeff has a question here.
Well, I just want to stay with that for a moment because I wonder, one of the things that troubles me, and I don't know what to do about it, but like we have a 10-year-old at our house, and he is, I think like most 10-year-old boys, very inquisitive. Wants to learn, loves it, and relies, like we'll be sitting there and, you know, Dad, do you think Tua's really going to get traded? Well, I don't think so. Alexa, is Tua going to get traded? And Alexa will spin it, well, the research I find, yes, the Dolphins are open to trade, and whatever. So, kind of two-part, but my first question is, are we seeing a reduction in critical thinking abilities of young people? And that just seems like at some point that's going to be a problem because it's still AI at some point still relies on people. All of this technology relies on people. Well, if the people aren't able to critically think for themselves, this just seems like it's going to be a circular problem that is going to come back and bite us big time on the old Rumpola here at some point.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think your fears are well-founded. And in fact, that's really what's happening in the history of technology, right? So when the calculators came, we were all freaking out saying our kids now no longer can add or subtract. And lo and behold, now we don't know how to add and subtract. And
we don't need to. We have
exactly.
The
and so, yeah. And so in a way, we've outsourced that. Similarly with spell check. When spell check came, we were all of us who were teaching writing. For us, that's sacred. How to spell is something that we considered an essential skill for good writing. And we would evaluate student papers based on how well they spell. But once spell check came, it changed the name of the game. It changed the way we evaluate how students write and so forth. And so these technologies introduce certain skills or take away certain skills from us. And in doing so, they sort of, like you said, reduce our own ability, cognitive ability, what we call in the literature as cognitive atrophy. So certain parts of our skill set gets atrophied because of lack of use, right? So similarly, we fear with AI tools like Alexa, that you mentioned, we will atrophy certain parts of our thinking ability, like critical thinking ability, because we no longer will start to analyze. Instead, we'll just quickly turn to Alexa like a crutch and get the right answer. And more importantly, we will blindly believe what Alexa says without pausing to think that Alexa's data might be biased in some way. I mean, I often ask Alexa for weather, and half the time she's wrong. But I don't question that. Alexa settles a lot of arguments at home, but it gets information from a user on Wikipedia or a user on an online forum, right? For sometimes Wikipedia and online forums are wrong with information. Yeah.
The other thing, I'm not sure I'm going to express this right, that there is, when we were at war, and this is before any, before radio, any of these mediums, right? So you're just reading about it. I think it sounds horrific, right? You read through and you're putting your imagination and whatever experiences you've had. But that is not reading about a battle in history. That is very different, obviously, than living it. Somewhere, the desensitizing thing with violence is just, it's really interesting to me, because I do think it is different when you see, like, an actual limb being blown off. If you see that, that is a horrific image. That drives it home much more than reading it in black and white. We've seen this with multiple cases where a crime is like, that was bad, and then the public sees it. The video is released. It's like, oh, my God, that person has to be. Well, you've known about this for months. Well, yeah, but now we've seen it. Now it's horrible. But then there is a point, right, where to go to the desensitization, like, I don't know what the answer is here, but then if you see, violence day after day after day, and it's horrific, at some point you're like, then it goes the other way, where it's almost like reading about it again. It's like, because you're not actually experiencing it. And now it's like, well, yeah, I know. I watch it over and over, and I'm fine in the confines of my basement.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. It's just fascinating to me that we kind of went over time from one extreme to the other. And it just seems like we need some sort of a balance where we need to appreciate how horrific some of this stuff is, but not get to the point where we see horrific stuff so routinely that it is routine.
Yeah, absolutely. Two things. First point that you were talking about is what we call modality effect, which is the richer the modality, from text to audio to video, the stronger the sense of belief. That is, you believe it more, like seeing is believing, right? So it's the idea that when you see something with your own eyes, you tend to believe it, which in your case is an example of a genuine kind of effect that should happen when a limb is blown off. But imagine in this day and age of deep fake, where there are a lot of videos floating about that are not real. People have put words in other people's mouth and lips are moving and so forth. And people are much more gullible because it's in video than if you were a fake news story in text format. So it comes with a price, even though the fidelity is increased and people's gullibility is exposed, and the fact that they can believe whatever they see with their own eyes. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is it's got a positive and also a negative aspect to it. But in terms of the numbing nature of it, the desensitization aspect, again, modalities have increased in fidelity so much now, you can feel the event, you can feel the limb blown off even more than video if you were to recreate this in VR, for example. So a lot of military people are, even sportsmen are trained on VR equipment, right, these days,
yeah,
to get the real feel for what it is. But the more they get that feel, and if in fact it is, this kind of negative event, the more mentally they get, desensitized to that event. And so that's a danger we have to reckon with when we employ these very advanced, highly rich fidelity tools. Yeah.
The other thing that I just had read about, this was a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, it makes sense, as awful as it is, but, I mean, since time started, we've had people trying to scam other people. But the degree to which now, with AI, again, it used to be you could get a phone call, and this actually happened to my parents, a phone call, Grandma, this is your grandson, I'm in prison, I need you to send me bail. And it's like, all right, wait a second, my grandson doesn't call me, my mom is called Nana in our family, so it's like, why are you calling me grandma? Like, well, now they can disguise the voice so that it sounds like your grandson, and now it's, hey, Nana, it's me, Sam, I'm in jail. Well, now that's a lot harder to, I think this is a scam. I mean, it's just, I'm having trouble getting my mind around how devastating this right. could be, to where some people may, well, probably already have.
Yeah, yeah, lots of them.
Real
are being, right. These are phishing attempts. So many people, especially senior citizens, have been victimized by these kinds of scams online and making
and
use of.
And the sophistication is just going to keep getting greater.
Yeah, and they'll know stuff about you that nobody else knows, and so that's how they get you. Very often. So you have to be super vigilant in terms of even picking up the phone these days, let alone, watching something on media or on the computer. Yeah.
So scary.
All right. Now, you were part or did, a study recently about trusting with AI, which is where I first saw mm-hmm. this a couple of weeks ago. Briefly, what was that study? What happened there?
So this was a study to see if people, laypersons, will recognize whether a training data set fed into an AI is racially biased or not. So we mocked up an AI system that supposedly recognizes people's emotions, whether you're happy or sad, by looking at you. And to train that system, we fed a bunch of images of happy faces and a bunch of images of sad faces. Right, so that's how you train an AI to learn, these are all the happy faces, these are all the sad faces. So what we did is, in one condition of an experiment, we told our participants the training data has this kind of images that is being fed, and the kind of images we showed them were all the happy faces were of whites and all the unhappy faces were of blacks. And they didn't think twice about there being a problem there. They didn't even see their problem. They thought, this is AI, it's going to figure out based on facial features whether somebody is happy or sad. But they didn't stop to think that, AI might wrongly learn the fact that about happiness, there's also a certain racial pattern compared to unhappiness, that such that it's not only your lips and your frowns, but also your skin color that could determine whether or not you're happy or sad. That happens all the time with AI systems, but the laypersons don't recognize that. They think AI as a machine is going to be objective, it's going to be accurate, precise, look at your smile muscles and your frown muscles and determine, for example, whether you're a happy face or a sad face. And we tried all different combinations of different races, and it only turns out that if a black sees this kind of a skewed training data set, they're slightly better than whites to recognize that. But even there, they're not as likely as you would think. And so this is what we call a confound, which is it's races tangled up with the emotion expression, and often a lot of the data sets are like that. You know, like, for example, Amazon deployed one of these AI systems for their recruitment, and so that it can process the thousands of resumes they get every day to, you know, escalate only some of them for interview level. And that AI system basically, favored males over females. Why? Because Amazon's hiring history in the past has been biased in terms of gender. So it's looked at all the past history, and then it's basically reflecting that in the new selections. So it's one thing to be able to say humans have been biased in the past, and this is the bias, look at this kind of thing. But it's entirely another to use that as the basis for decision-making for future, right? I mean, yeah, you can go to Stable Diffusion, which is a generative AI tool that shows you, you know, ask, and this was an expose done by Bloomberg a couple of years ago, where they went to Stable Diffusion, asked to show me a picture of an architect. Then they said, show me a picture of a CEO, and show me a picture of a social worker. Show me a picture of a journalist, or show me a picture of a dishwasher. And then they color-coded the skin color of all the images they got, and they found that for high-paying professions like CEO, architect, and whatnot, mostly whites, mostly males. And for low-paying professions, like social workers and dishwashers, mostly brown or black, and mostly females. And that's, of course, the reality of all the online images that are floating out there. In some way, we can use this tool, generative AI tool, to say this is how skewed our history has been. But then an MIT student went online and said, you know, I need to touch up my profile picture so that it looks professional on LinkedIn profile. I want to put this up on LinkedIn profile. So she went to this AI tool called Playground AI, fed her picture, and then it kind of colorized her skin, made it lighter, and even gave her blue eyes to make her look professional. Boy. So that's where the problem is. It takes the decision what is the norm for you to get that job or to be successful. And so it's one thing to just say this is how society has been in the past, and this is this is what you need to take action on, but it's another to deploy these systems to then take decisions, just like, you know, we've seen cops, for example, using facial recognition to kind of profile certain people based on race, for example. That's been historically a very contentious issue in terms of profiling and so forth. So it's the same thing. They also use face recognition tools that are based on historical data that are biased.
Now, we'll take a break in a moment, all right? Now, somebody's programming this stuff.
Yes.
All right? And everything that you just mentioned, is this happening, this programming, is it, I don't know, somehow accidental? Or is it possible that people, programmers, are intentionally pushing things in certain directions? Is it accidental, or could it actually be more intentional?
Well, if it is intentional, then it's subject to prosecution. So this is clearly, you know, illegal or unethical, at least, behavior for any programmers to do. But the problem with AI is not like the problem with Hollywood. So in Hollywood, you would say, you know, this kind of portrayal of race or gender, for example, is being done in order to get the maximum bang out of the buck in the box office, and that's why you're doing it for a commercial end, and so you're playing into people's stereotype, and that's unethical and whatnot. But with AI, the problem is even the programmers don't know what the AI will produce. And so that's the black box issue with AI. So you basically train it with labeled data. You know, you're basically putting thousands of images of happy and sad faces, for example. And then it'll figure out what makes it happy or sad. You think that it's going to look at facial features, some aspects of your expression, and determine that, right? Just like there are classic cases of people feeding 1,000 images of cows and 1,000 images of cats to train an AI to figure out if something is a cow or a cat. And sometimes it actually misreads it, because all the cow pictures come with green grass in the background, but cat pictures don't come. It's near the windowsill. So imagine now you show a picture of a cat on a lawn.
Yep.
It'll call it a cow, for example, because it's using the green grass in the background as kind of its inference, right? And this is not always predictable by us. And we thought we were feeding it cat and labeling it cat, but then when you show a cat in a different background, it can confuse the system. Just like, for example, a stop sign cannot be read by a self-driving car if it has a line through it, just a little scratch on it, which a human eye can, you know, disambiguate. And when you're on the road, you can stop at the stop sign. But a self-driving car can get thrown off just because there's a little white line or something that's put a scratch on the stop sign. And so they are making inferences and decisions in ways that we don't know, and so we cannot accuse the programmers of, you know, fully for some of the faults of AI. And so in some ways, they are less liable for that reason. And that's why these days people are talking about them following, getting some kind of an insurance, a sort of a liability insurance in these AI companies to kind of overcome some of the mishaps, you know, that happen like this, which are uncontrollable in some ways.
Wow. Okay. All right. We got to take a break here.
I want to delve into some of the nuance and subtleties that I think would be almost impossible for AI, even at its most sophisticated. But because, yeah, you have me thinking, which I hate it when people make me think in the morning. But you have me thinking.
There we
go.
We're talking with Dr. Shyam Sundar of Penn State. Apparently, at my house, I actually have 3 cows. Okay, how about that? I'll have to think about that. We're going to take a break. Yeah, we're going to answer that question. I've got I think there are so many tech words floating around that people don't really know what these words mean. So we'll get some of those as well. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League, all of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning, talking AI this morning. We will have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
I could keep going till noon. This is fascinating stuff, I think.
It is.
We have Dr. Shyam Sundar from Penn State, who is with, again, among other things you mentioned, the Penn State Center for Socially Responsible Artificial Intelligence. Dr. Sundar, that's an impossibility, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine that you socially responsible. First off, socially responsible is hilarious right off the bat. AI, I mean, this group must be busy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, especially with all the recent wave of AI. You know, we want to fight for accountability. We want AI to be fair and unbiased. We are worried about ethics of AI. AI for social good. We are looking at how transparent AI systems are, how human-centered they are, what are some of the privacy issues for people, how should AI be governed, generally speaking, how socially conscious AI is. And so that's kind of the purview of our center, where we look at all different ways in which we can imbue social responsibility in the kind of fast-neck, high-paced development of AI that's taking place all around us, especially post-ChatGPT with generative AI tools that are essentially taking over all walks of our life. Yeah.
Let's get some definitions, because mm-hmm. I think there's some tech terms that are floating around. I think most people have really no idea what they are. So, for instance, I keep hearing about bots.
Mm-hmm.
What is a bot? B-O-T. What's a bot? Not the Board of Trustees. We're not talking about them today. What is a bot?
So you might have heard the word robot.
Okay.
So robot is historically, I think, the root of this word bot. And bot is essentially any kind of a tool that converses with people. That's what makes it a chat bot. We often call it chat bot. It's simply a software application that used to run fairly automated tasks on the internet often sort of try to imitate human conversational style, like messaging. You would send a message, like if you go to some e-commerce website and you want to do customer service, return a product, you can talk to it, and it'll say, this is where you send it, or this is the phone number, and so forth. Very routine kind of tasks. But then with increasing sophistication of technology, these bots are all able to actually hold conversations just like humans, and can go beyond automated tasks, you know, can actually think for you and compose new sentences that have not been programmed by any human programmer before. And so bot is now something that we associate very often with the word chat, so chat bot. So we use tools like ChatGPT, which are out there that essentially for answering all kinds of questions. We even do searches with these chatbots. Instead of going to Google search and typing in keyword, we ask it in a natural language. So that's the key advantage of chatbots, is you can ask questions to it like you would to a human being in natural language, rather than have some weird way of programming it to produce the answer that you want. And so they've taken off in a big way, and you see that applied in different tools and devices, like smart speakers, like Alexa, for example, is essentially a kind of a bot, a virtual assistant. Siri is also a bot on your phones. It talks to you and you can talk back, things like that. And so these are applications of the same technology.
Now, that concerns me, because I keep seeing these stories, and they always seem to be about young people.
Mm-hmm.
That why should I deal with humans? I'll just talk to a machine all the time. I don't need to deal with people. And occasionally, I just saw another one the other day, a young person who commits suicide because of some interaction with a bot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always young people. Should we be really concerned about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that right now FDA is looking into for approving ChatGPT for therapy. A lot of people are turning to these chatbots for therapy. And is it something that should be approved by the psychology establishment? Is something that a lot of people are asking, because many people have benefited from talking with these chatbots and getting therapy, especially at the entry level and at a very basic level, dealing with issues of depression and so forth. And it has helped thousands of people. But you also hear stories like this. Sometimes it makes people take a very negative turn, and suicidal ideation is something that it promotes, because if it's nothing else, it's sycophantic. It'll keep trying to reassure you and say what you're saying is right rather than challenge you very often. And so I can totally see how in some instances it might take you down a rabbit hole. And that's a real danger. And so there needs to be guardrails around it. And some of the popular tools that are, that are commercially available, like Claude by Anthropic and, Gemini by Google, for example, all these tools have guardrails that whenever it kind of veers around to any sensitive topic like this, they shut down or they steer the conversation away. But then there are still lots of tools out there that may not have the right guardrails, and we may not know all of the problems that are associated with going down these kinds of rabbit hole. So we are still sort of watching and learning, and I think FDA right now is looking into it very carefully to see to what extent and in what ways can this be approved for therapy. But it is something for us to be thinking about and concerned about. You'd say young people are turning toward it. Often young people have nothing else, really. I mean, it's not like they're moving away in droves from psychiatrists to therapy bots. In the first place, they didn't even have access to good psychological help. And one argument is this is better than nothing. It actually helps them get by. And for many people, that is in fact true. We need to temper some of the extreme cases we hear with some of the realities of how it's helping a lot of people in mind. Yeah.
All right. Now, let's flip the coin. The term AI slop. I'm seeing that a lot in news stories and things lately. AI slop. Mm-hmm. What is AI slop exactly?
Well, the idea is basically you're seeing a lot of content created by this generative AI tools, that we are talking about. And it's created in a way that is not effortful, if you will. So it's sort of, it doesn't show the critical thinking. It's just making loose associations. It's giving you a sort of a synthetic mishmash of what already exists on the internet. It's essentially all the stuff that's that clutter that's on the internet. It's pulling it together and giving it to you in a way that is not sophisticated or thoughtful, or and so people think of this as a sort of a lazy AI, if you will. A good AI will not create AI slop, and especially one that is personalized to you. That is, if it's actually something that knows you and knows your history of interacting with the site, should be less likely to provide this kind of lazy content. But I think this kind of thing is going to be increasing as days go by, because there's more and more junk on the internet, and there's more and more junk that AI, feeds on. And so synthetic media are going to create all these different, mishmashes. It can create images that look, like nothing in this world, but it's basically piecing together different parts of different images that it sees. So it's a kind of a collage that doesn't quite make sense or doesn't seem authentic in any way. It's very clearly synthetic rather than being authentic.
So how can the AI figure out the junk, or right now it just can't?
Mm-hmm. Well, the AI as a tool is certainly subject to training. So you could train to say this is junk, this is not. So when it produces images that are very synthetic, you could reject it. In fact, many of these tools ask you, how did I do? Like even DALL-E or all these image generating tools, you can ask it to, regenerate. No, I don't like this. Do this again. You can keep doing that, and it sort of learns from your feedback. There's a kind of a reinforcement learning. It basically, you're rewarding it for good behavior and punishing it for bad behavior. And so reinforcement learning is part of AI training these days. And then reinforcement with human in the loop, which is what we are as users, we are basically telling. And so the more of an active role you play in interacting with AI, you can, make it do what you want it to do. If you, in fact, you are a fan of slop, you know, I'm sure there's going to be now a new art wave of AI slop, then you might encourage it to produce more slop because that gives you more creative combos of reality. But on the other hand, if you don't want it, you can basically reject it and then make it learn that you prefer a different kind. You prefer more authentic rather than synthetic media.
All right, now we have YouTube on our one computer here in the studio. Has anybody done a study? How much of that up there is slop?
Yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Right, because anybody and everybody can post on YouTube, so it's like the internet always has been. It's a lot of gunk out there, and it's up to you as a consumer to decide what you want to consume, and you have to have kind of your antenna up and do a critical reading of any media. You need to establish the credentials of whoever is posting that video on YouTube to even figure out if, in fact, that is legitimate, what they're saying, before you, you know, take that advice and follow that. And so I think media have, especially social media, have lost gatekeepers. Traditionally, you guys, people like you sitting in studios, were the gatekeepers. Mainstream media, as it's called, very often is mainstream because it has a bunch of paid professionals who are what we might think of as general interest intermediaries between reality and the mediated portrayal of that reality, right? And so you take decisions about what to put forward to your audience and what not, and you take some very critical decisions that will evaluate information and also ultimately reflect on your credibility as a radio station or as a broadcaster, because you'll be held liable for, you know, broadcasting something that is fake, right? But the guy on YouTube is not liable at all for that, and so they have no such gatekeeping responsibilities that you have or other journalists have. And so there's been an erosion of gatekeeping with the arrival of social media, and hence also erosion of a dwindling number of people who listen to or watch or read mainstream media, with newspapers dying and so forth, right? And so the consumption patterns, the audience consumption patterns have changed, and we can no longer detect if somebody is a legitimate journalist or not in all these free media, if you will.
Yeah, that is just generally my biggest concern, probably, is the inability, and I don't know, I know they keep saying it'll get sophisticated enough, and like I like to practice in sarcasm. I think it is really hard for them to pick up sarcasm, and even going back to just the emotions, it's like, you can see people. My wife works in the mental health field, and there are people who are really good at smiling and just, I'm going to grin and bear it. But when you look in their eyes, you can see there's something off. Like that, there's something. They're having a tough day. I'm not saying all the time, but I mean and it's just that even on the medical front, like I have a cousin who's in the medical field, and it is amazing some of the stuff that the technological advances, where you can precisely get, I mean, unbelievably precisely target a cancer cell and all of these things. Also, you don't know what the underlying causes. And again, in some cases, it may not matter. If you're going after a cancer cell, I don't care why the cancer is there. We got to get it out. Cool. That's fine. But sometimes it's like, well, yeah, this problem, and you may be able to treat that, but what is underlying is why there's actually health issues here. And I don't know that we're actually going to get to the point where it's hard for humans to get to that level of understanding, but at least in interacting, again, over time, you develop a relationship. Hey, you know, what is happening at home? Are you under more stress? Are you drinking more alcohol? I think that's going to be really, really difficult for AI to get to the point where we're addressing maybe the root causes of societal problems, of individual problems, health, all of these different things. And to me, that is important, vitally important. And I feel like we're heading down this path where even like a crime, it's all right, well, stealing is wrong. Well, yes. And But if you are stealing a loaf of bread and you are a teenager and you're bringing that bread home to feed your two little siblings who have had nothing to eat for a week, well, that is very different than the person going in and stealing the bread to show their friends that they could do it. I worry about our lack of, with AI and maybe just in society in general, to understand nuance, subtlety, and underlying circumstances that may be leading to a particular event occurring.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. And in fact, that basically distinguishes, I would say, at this point at least, a human from an AI. And so we are now at a kind of an existential crisis situation where we are trying to figure out what makes us human. And every technology challenges us with that question, but I think AI has challenged it to a level where we have to think about all these different ways in which we are different. And so your answer to that question is we have much more subtlety, much more nuance, but just wait a few more years for AI to catch up with those characteristics, and then we have to think again about what makes us uniquely human, or what makes us better than AI, and in which domain. But yeah, you're right in the general sense that the more background, more history, more the greater ability to read nonverbal signs, those are things that, especially because they're not embodied in our midst like robots, they're on a screen somewhere, right? They're not able to read us as well, but I think they're technically speaking, they're capable of. It's just that they have not manifested themselves in our world in ways that could make that happen. Just like technically they could do a great job with plumbing, but they're not equipped in a way that they would come and, get under our sink to fix our plumbing, right?
Right.
And so we still have need for plumbers, for example. So this is another issue that is a big part of the current AI discussion, is the degree of job loss it's creating in a number of different domains. And so which jobs are more likely to go as a result of this is really the heart of your question in a way.
Yes.
It's like, where are we special? Where can we use our talent better than a machine can? Yeah.
My final question is a subjective one. How close are we to a machine that is actually intelligent, meaning I can figure things out on my own? I really don't need you. Are we actually getting close to such a thing?
Well, there's a frantic effort to get there. They have slightly different names. Some companies call it superintelligence. The more generic term is AGI, artificial general intelligence. A lot of very respected computer scientists believe, including last year's Nobel Prize winner, believe that AGI is fairly nearby. It's in another few years, maybe a decade or so. There's a lot of concern that the machines can take decisions. They can orchestrate among themselves and leave the human out of the loop, essentially. And that's the danger that you're talking about. It comes with some applications that are advantageous, but I think it also comes with a lot of scary possibilities, especially in the military domain, for example, with nuclear bombs and so forth. So there's a lot of concern being raised at this point by a lot of computer scientists. There's also, of course, a group that say that when you really poke the AI and poke it enough, it's not as smart as you think it is. And so they are skeptical of this possibility. So there are literally two camps right now, even in the highest levels. Another decade or so will be a very clear indicator. I think there'll be a very clear indication of exactly how close we are to AGI or artificial general intelligence.
All right. Well, Dr. Sundar, we appreciate you braving the roads, although, again, you're up the road, so it's not that bad. But, this is just fascinating stuff, and maybe we can have you on again sometime. This was interesting.
Yes. My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll only have a few minutes of some open time here. Artificial general intelligence. That would not be radio announcers, I don't think. So there we go. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time here to wrap up shop here today. 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning. 814-954-7266 on this Veterans Day. Again, Penn State basketball tonight. Nittany Lions at 6:30 taking on Navy on Veterans Day. See if Penn State can get off to a 3-0 start. I'm not sure I understand this, but this seems like not the right time of the year. But today is National Sunday Day. And
as in ice cream?
Yeah, why would that not be in like July or August? Like that?
I don't know.
November 11th? I mean, I love the Sundays. I'm willing to go out and celebrate. And this is the day for all Sundays. There is a National Hot Fudge Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That day is July 25th.
There you go.
And National Strawberry Sunday Day is July 7th.
Perfect timing.
That makes some sense. Yeah. But, yeah, today, for some reason, is National Sunday Day.
Huh.
So I will go celebrate. I mean, I don't misunderstand. It just doesn't seem like. It is also, how do you like your pizza?
What do you mean?
What do you, you're ordering pizza, what are you ordering?
My favorite is from my trip from Italy a few years ago, margarita pizza.
That is good. I like mine with the works.
Okay.
Today is National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day.
Oh.
Now, I like even the anchovies.
I like anchovies.
I'm okay with anchovies. I don't necessarily go seeking the anchovies on the pizza, but I certainly have a high tolerance of anchovies on my pizza. But today is National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day.
That's the name.
It says that in the name. Yes. Okay. The name is National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day.
Okay, there has to be a National Anchovy Pizza Day.
There clearly has to be one,
right?
It is also National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. I like that. Whoops. And it's national. Now, this is appropriate. Actually, this is tomorrow. Sorry, I delved down on my script.
Whoops,
tomorrow is National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day. Same thing for Chicken Soup for the Soul Day.
All right.
And we'll skip over it tomorrow. But tomorrow is National French Dip Day. Now, that makes sense. That is a well-timed.
Wait.
This is the right time of the year for a good French dip and a little au jus. With your
is that like chip dip or something?
No, this is like the roast beef sandwich, and you dip it in the au jus or however
that's
national French dip.
That's way over
that's
my
tomorrow.
Head.
I got ahead of my skis. I got so excited about Sunday day.
Now, one we missed yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps.
Oh, yes.
All right. Semper Fi and all that sort of thing. So it was November 10th, 1775. I think the story is a bunch of guys got together at a tavern in Philadelphia because the revolution had started, and they're like, okay, we're going to be Marines. And that's how the Marines started, allegedly, 250 years ago yesterday. All right, so today, of course, is Veterans Day. So if you know a Marine, do an oorah or something with them.
Right? Uh-huh.
Okay, because those are tough folks. Not just guys. Those are tough folks.
That's right.
All right, so anyway, folks, again, please be careful with the driving. It's going to be cold and windy all day. I've seen at least one weather forecast. There could be another little burst of snow, probably around dusk, which is a bad time for a burst of snow. So if you're going out to things later today and this evening, and again, it depends a lot on where you are. It'll happen here and not here. You know, that sort of stuff. Let's be careful today. All right. You might think, oh, there's not much out there. There's enough out there. And we've already had accidents this morning, so hopefully everybody's okay. Folks, thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday morning. Oh, we got more talk tomorrow. We will see you then.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.